I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. It's that time of year again. Christmas is just around the corner. And what better way to get into the spirit of the season than to head over to the Stanley Theatre to see the Arts Club's production of Irving Berlin's White Christmas. Beginning previews the 12th of November, the show features the immortal White Christmas and other memorable songs by Irving Berlin. It is said that Irving Berlin is American music. This is a stage adaptation of the hit 1954 movie musical, which starred Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Rosemary Clooney, and Vera Ellen. The song was originally sung in the picture Holiday Inn in 1942, winning the Oscar for Best Song. The 1954 film White Christmas was adapted to the stage a few years ago and opened on Broadway last year. This Arts Club production runs until December 27th. For tickets and more, visit artsclub.com. Sarah Jean Hosey, one of the stars of the show, joins me now. She recently stopped the show at the Stanley as Fantine, singing I Dreamed a Dream in last spring's Boffo production of Les Miserables. She also played the lead in productions of Cabaret, South Pacific, and Guys and Dolls. Her website is sjhosey.com. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Sarah Jean Hosey. Good morning, Ms. Hosey.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I guess you're already in the spirit of Christmas already, aren't you?
Yes, I've been in the spirit of Christmas since early October.
That must be weird.
It is. It was pretty. It's pretty funny to start singing Christmas tunes before anyone's even experienced Halloween. But you get used to it every year when you do a Christmas show. Yeah.
But I guess being in a show is like celebrating Halloween all the time, isn't it?
It is, actually. Halloween is the one holiday that I never get overly excited about just because I dress in costume every day. So it's one that I go, oh, I have to dress up in costume again. It's usually a day off. So you're just like, please don't put me in a costume on my day off.
Yeah. What's Christmas like for you? Is it a big deal at your house?
Yes, Christmas is a big deal at my house. My family makes a big deal of Christmas mainly because it is, both my parents are actors as well. So it's the only day of the year that you know for sure that you're all going to be together. So, my family's in Victoria, so I go over to Victoria, and we have a huge Christmas Eve bash with friends and family, and a big party. My parents have thrown that since way before I was born, and they don't invite anybody anymore. They put out invites years ago, and now everybody comes. They just show up, so it's fantastic, and then we have Christmas morning all together, and then usually I'm heading on a ferry back because I have a show on Boxing Day.
Yeah, your partner is an actor, too, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he's been on the program before, Matt Palmer, right?
Matt Palmer, yeah. Well, we're still best friends, but we're not romantically involved anymore.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are some of the holiday traditions? So, other than the party, I mean, do you watch a lot of like holiday movies and the sort?
You know, I never really watched holiday movies. It's funny. The TV never turned on around Christmas in my house. Maybe it was because there was always a show happening, so you knew that you would be at the theater. But we have this funny tradition where my two brothers and then my parents, so there's five of us growing up, where we would play this dice game on Christmas morning. We would all have a die in our hands, and we would roll the die, and whoever rolled the highest became the Christmas elf. And then you get to go to the tree and pick a gift for somebody else and give it to them. It can be a gift that you were giving them or Santa was giving them or whatever. And it makes Christmas last so long because you're individually opening the presents and watching each other opening presents, and it's just fun because it becomes a game, you know, and you compete to see who's going to give the next gift. That's one of my strange family traditions. But we always have music playing, and we would sing on Christmas Eve. You know, we gather around the piano and sing carols. But the TV never turned on, so the movie White Christmas never really came into my life until this show.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite Christmas carols?
Oh, my favorite is Judy Garland singing "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas."
Yeah, that's a favorite of mine too. Yeah.
It doesn't get better than that one. But there's so many. Silent Night by a big choir, you know, is so beautiful. I love Christmas carols.
Yeah. Now this is the first time that Beauty and the Beast isn't running at the Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an ideal choice to replace it, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Beauty and the Beast is such a beautiful, feel-good musical for Christmas, and so is this. I mean, the Irving Berlin's music is gorgeous, And the nice thing is that with the adaption, they have added so many more songs of his. So it's not, if you've seen the movie and you love those songs, there's so many more in the stage version. So there's lots of great tunes. I love a piano is in it, and it's just a real treat. So I think it's a perfect replacement for Beauty and the Beast this year. Yeah.
And what other Irving Berlin songs are in the show that we'd recognize?
There's a song called Sing Happy, where Martha Watson, in the movie, the woman who plays the romantic interest to Waverly, General Waverly, she doesn't sing anything. In this show, they've given her this great blockbuster song called Sing Happy. And Falling Out of Love Can Be Fun is a trio between the girls. That's sort of an Andrews Sisters, so those Irving Berlin fans would know those songs. Which other ones have been added that aren't in the? Is that funny how in your head?
Yeah.
So many more, but.
But that's the thing about Irving Berlin's music, isn't it? That even if we didn't know he wrote it, when we hear it, and you know, he's written something like, you know, there's like a million songs, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and he's one of my favorite composers. He writes such, it's just so easy to listen to. That's the nice thing about doing this show, actually, is while you're singing it, it does make you feel good, and when you're off stage listening to your fellow actors sing it, it's just beautiful music. He really does, and he writes music that you hum to later, which I know is a complaint of a lot of people that go to the theater with some of the modern musicals, more contemporary musicals, is that you hear them say, yeah, but there wasn't I wasn't humming a tune when I left the theater, and people will be humming these tunes for sure. We couldn't get them out of our heads all through rehearsal. We go home, and you're like, I can't get it out of my head, any
yeah.
of them.
Yeah. It's timeless, too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, anything to do with celebrating Christmas is timeless. Everyone feels those joys around that time, and a lot of people that... that go through a transformation around that time of year, and just like any, like Christmas Carol, A Wonderful Life, there's a transformation in this show, there's transformations of several people in this show as well.
Is there a lot of dancing in this production?
Yes. Huge production numbers, a lot of tap dancing, big tap show, great, big cast, yeah, I Love a Piano is one of the biggest production numbers, it's fantastic, boys dancing, tap dancing on stairs, Judy, Monique Lenz, who plays Judy, is tapping on a piano. Todd Talbot, who's a fabulous dancer in town. It's a huge dance show.
And are the dances varied? Other than tap dancing, are there other sort of...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there's a song called... what's it? Everything Happens When You Dance, that song. They mm-hmm. do this beautiful ballroom piece. Todd and Monique do this beautiful ballroom dance. There's tons of different styles of dancing in it. There isn't a little girl on point like there is in the movie, though.
Yeah. the song White Christmas, I mean, that's what the show's... I mean, the movie was built around that, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you tire of singing that song?
No. No, we sing it. Actually, comes up a few times in the show.
Yeah, and it's a Christmas song that I think. I mean, I've never heard of anyone that doesn't like the song. Have you?
No, me neither. And yeah. The funny thing is that here in Vancouver, we had a White Christmas last year, which is great, but it doesn't happen very often. We always make jokes in the cast that we should be singing "I'm Dreaming of a Wet Christmas" because that's what we get here in Vancouver. But maybe we'll get a white one this year because we've been, singing it for months and months now.
Yeah. Now, you talked about the show having a big cast. Your other co-stars in the show, have we seen them on stage previously?
Yes, Monique Lund, who plays my sister, Judy Haynes. She actually, I did Babette in Beauty and the Beast for the first 2 years, and the second 2 years, Monique played Babette. So it's the Babette sisters in our minds, so people would have seen her last year and the year before in Beauty and the Beast. And Todd Talbot was the lead in It's a Wonderful Life for the last 2 years, and now he's joining us over at the Stanley. And Jeffrey Victor, who's playing the Bing Crosby part, Bob, just played Marius in Les Mis. So So, yeah, everyone is familiar to the Arts Club audience. Réjean Cornoiller, who's playing General Waverly, just played Javert in Les Mis. And Susan Anderson, who plays opposite him, who's playing his, what he likes to call, concierge, but she's his romantic opposite. She played Mrs. Potts in Beauty and the Beast. So a lot of familiar faces for Christmas, for sure.
Did you people associated with Les Miserables last year, last spring, I guess, figure out if the show was popular on its own, or did the Susan Boyle stuff and what happened to her, did that have a lot to do with its success?
Oh, I think the show was definitely successful on its own. I think that the Arts Club could be really proud of that production. I mean, a lot of heart was put into that show, and we had a fantastic cast. The singers, I was just in awe of my fellow cast members in that show, and the way they sang every night. I think that Susan Boyle definitely, that whole thing launched, it just came at the perfect time to remind people of the beautiful music in Les Mis, and it launched, it for sure was like, oh, that's that song, oh, Les Mis, they're doing that at the Arts Club. It definitely launched it in the very beginning. It made our ticket sales, double, I think, at the very beginning, and then once they had seen the show, and then they tell their friends. So, yeah, we're grateful to Susan Boyle. It was perfect timing for her to sing that song.
Was there a great deal of pressure on you because you had to sing that song?
There was, you know, I have played so many iconic roles in the last 2 years. You know, I played Sally Bowles, which everyone thinks is Liza Minnelli, and I'm doing Rosemary Clooney, and there's always a lot of pressure when you're doing a show that people have seen as a movie. And it's funny because, you know, you just have to go in and do your, follow your own heart and do your own interpretation. But the funny thing was, is with Les Mis, when Bill gave me the role as Fantine, I was, oh gosh, I was so excited because I loved the musical, and I thought to myself, oh, this is great. There's no movie version. No one is going to be comparing me. I don't have to think of anybody else. I can just fully, and then Susan Boyle sang the song, and then my phone started to ring, and interviews were happening. You know, it bothers you, it gets to you, and you second-guess everything you're doing, all your choices you're making, for about 24 hours, and then you release it. And to be honest, I really was, I was grateful that that came at that time, because it made that song the most familiar to people when they came to the show, you know? It almost made it so it was like, oh, that's that song. So, in the end, it ended up being a good thing, but for 24 hours, it was... It was a challenge to get past your own, you know, no matter how long you've been doing singing or dancing or acting, we're always so striving to be the best that we can be, so we're always hard on ourselves, and we're always second-guessing everything. So, for sure, it was pressure, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I'd seen the show twice. It was our opening night. I didn't feel it opening night, but the second time I went, just as you started the song, you know, you could hear people around you, or, you know, moving around and saying, oh, here's a song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did you do after you died? What would you do every night? I mean, because you died sort of pretty early in the show, right?
Yes, I did. I quickly died in that show. Well, in that one, after I died, I did a lot of offstage singing. So in the ensemble moments, I would sing in the wings to, you know, add more support to the ensemble sound.
Right.
And I did play a beggar woman in the show. I had a blanket over my head in the streets of Paris. So I did come back as a different character in that, and I also came back as a citoyenne in the beginning of Act Two. And then I would get back into my Fantine gear for the scene at the end.
Yeah, so it just seems to me, I've always wondered that, what actors do when they're off stage. You know, that old, I guess it was, we've seen it in movies and the sort, that they're backstage mm-hmm. playing poker or something like that.
Well, you know, that does happen. Usually, I mean, Karen Fair, our stage manager, who is the best stage manager you can ever work for, she recommends, if you have time off stage, that you don't do anything that will involve your brain so much that you will miss a cue, you know, that you will be so involved in a poker game that then you have missed your next entrance. So she really keeps us away from doing, you know, like playing, a lot of people like to play Game Boy or Nintendo DS backstage, and you really have to be aware of knowing when your next entrance is, or set an alarm on your phone so it goes off so you know that you're present. But I like to do crossword puzzles.
Yeah.
If I have a lot of time off stage.
And is the show timed that, like, you know, every night at 9:05 it's this scene or this piece of dialogue?
You know, if you're usually in the beginning, things are out, you know, five or six minutes. But by the time you get into about two weeks of running a show, if you've got consistent actors and musicians, which you are is generally the case at the Stanley, yeah, it does tend to be like 9:06. That's when she makes her entrance. Everything is so timed out in a live production.
Sarah, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you. We've been watching you for years, and I guess for this production, Break a Leg.
Thank you so much, and I hope you come and see it.
We will, yeah. The website for more is sjhosey.com. Irving Berlin's White Christmas begins previews at the Stanley the 12th of November and runs until December 27th. The website for more information and tickets for the show is artsclub.com. Sarah Jean Hosey on the line. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.